Yes. Please work. So, HDMI projector on. I mean we see there are no signal sign.
That's very true.
Is it possible that in this room HDMI doesn't work?
Might be.
Please work.
Do you have a VGA out of?
No.
Why support VGA?
So does this one. Your
laptop detected something in this.
So it doesn't work, but I do have VGA.
Theory that the VGA works and HDMI is broken.
That's probably VGA.
Oh. Indeed! Yay! All right. So you said that you will drive the you will drive
easy.
The show. Okay. So we discussed Bjorn. So the next person in the pipeline is
me.
Yep, Perane. So let's see that.
Yes.
All right. So you tell us what, how you judge the reviews, were they useful?
Yeah, the reviews were really useful.
Mm-hmm.
I said that the structure was decent enough. They didn't mention anything about the lack of what was it called, the abstract.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't have one.
Mm-hmm.
So for article this 435 in Telecom, apparently.
Yep.
They mentioned some things about their being not enough references, because I only have two.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair.
Mm-hmm.
Title wasn't really good enough, but that was because I misunderstood what the title should be. I used the topic as the title,
mm-hmm.
rather than create one based on the article.
Yep.
So I should probably have double checked that
yep.
with you.
Yep.
Otherwise, it was some minor logical errors and typos, but not much.
Mm-hmm.
It's mostly all the arguments are supported by the references,
mm-hmm.
but it was good. I forgot to explain free to play and premium and the difference between them because there is no specific terminology, because from them I should have put out my own terminology.
Yeah.
But, so that's good to get some feedback on.
Yeah. So usually when we build some sort of argument, we have to rely on the understanding of the terminology,
yeah,
right, with the reader. And some terms within a certain community are well understood,
mm-hmm,
and some terms may be a little bit vague or
yeah,
not precise, and then you have to make it precise in your essay or in your, you know, master thesis.
Yeah,
yeah,
I should have explained the difference in my belief between the premium and free to play, because they're both technically free to play,
mm-hmm,
so that I see a difference between them. Still,
yeah,
I should have put that out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the introduction was good, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
The structure was good. I don't remember what else. I'm trying to skim read a bit.
Yeah. So some of the. So, did you go the counter or not yet?
Yeah, it's Bjorn, so he wrote it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he has put up a lot of references for
yeah,
his counter,
mm-hmm,
which is a perfect counter for me.
Yeah.
His main counter argument is that of other monetary models, because
mm-hmm,
I only use two.
Yes.
But I explained in the beginning that I would only use two.
Mm-hmm.
So that's. It's a fairly good counter-argument.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, I can remind the mm-hmm, first argument is kind of more like, yeah, shouldn't really matter, like, your model.
Mm-hmm.
More, you should actually find a model that suits your game, but the model that you can build a game around.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of, it's more important. The second one is kind of like about the whole saturation of the model market.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're probably not going to be, it's not really that easy to see.
Yeah.
I think this is just like a calculator that was like 500 games per day or something. Like 630 games each day.
Yeah.
Like come out and like
yeah,
so it's like like getting recognized is like more important than, you know, whatever you're running on. It's,
yes.
It's a difference between like making some money, you get recognition, you make some money, but it just depends on how much you make.
Yeah.
I just created some assumptions at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then there's kind of some stuff about like, if you first succeed, would you go take a risk
mm-hmm,
on doing just a free to play game instead of when you just continue doing premium games? As you have you make more money and you'd be sick. Just keeping yourself financially viable.
Yeah.
Terms, even though they're like crap games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because my argument was that first create a premium game to make money and then free to play games to rebuild your reputation.
Yeah.
So that you balance both.
Yeah.
You
don't have to.
Did you guys in either of them mention the Android difference between Android and iOS?
I did not, because I just talked about apps in general, not just games. I did.
Yeah, because
apps.
I think you barely mentioned it, but
yeah. Yeah, because it.
iOS.
It can't actually be generalized between those two platforms because
yeah,
they have.
Because there's Windows as well.
Yeah, well, I don't see Windows as a thing.
Forget Windows.
Yeah, because the thing with iOS and Android is, well, in Android you don't really have the protection that you have with iOS, and on Android it's not very viable to have a paid game, as in, or a one-time purchase game, because the APK will be ripped and it will be placed on some website and someone can download it.
Yeah,
and play.
That's why I'm arguing for just free-to-play and premium.
Yes,
okay.
And on iOS it's the different. You can have the paid and you won't have that issue where sort of everything gets stolen.
That's correct.
You mentioned Angry Birds, one of my examples. Then I think that's actually on Android as well. I kind of mentioned, I kind of tried to avoid it and just not mention like specific monetization
mm-hmm,
modes much, but then just take the revenue modes of both iOS and Android, I think.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think I'm only doing like that I was only able to find revenue models for iOS when I showed statistics.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think like top 20 developers take like 64% of all the revenue.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's a very skewed,
yeah,
you know, long tail curve. And also there was an announcement today suggesting that by the end of the year, the revenue from Android Store, Play Store, and iOS App Store will kind of cross. So up until now, iOS was earning more money than Android Store, but Android kind of caught up and will overtake iOS App Store. Yeah, this year. Yeah.
Yeah, because of the share number of users.
Exactly. Yeah. So they used to be sort of more skewed towards iOS, but that has been leveled, and now the sheer number of users will drive the revenue, the gross revenue, towards Android from iOS. Yeah.
Meanwhile, Ubidoglio is just way down the line.
Yeah.
Just looking well away.
But it is tough, so you... Both of you made arguments for choosing a particular model.
Yeah.
Who do you ask, who decides which model is the best? So if you have a startup or if you're a game studio, who is the responsible? Like why, how do you do that?
The results.
Yeah, exactly.
The
market
that's the
results, right?
Yeah.
You cannot make this decision.
No, it's just an assumption.
Yeah, so you make you can make some assumptions, and then you basically have to try out and pick the one model which works for that particular game with that particular audience. So it has to be an iterative process where you're trying to kind of get a good fit for the...
You can also do language work, which is use like two versions, one with that's paid and one that's just...
Exactly, yeah.
So you can also
test, yeah.
Different versions, see what works for you.
And that's what most companies do, because there is no single model which works. It's not how it is. Yeah. Okay. Questions to these guys?
Not really. I think I asked my question.
Yeah. We don't have any questions or any comments for that.
No.
All right. So let's move on to Christoph. Essay?
Yes.
Christoph. Eskil is for you, not for him.
No, it is for both, actually. But
yeah.
You see that it popped up twice.
This is Peranus as well.
I see.
So it's probably just posted wrong.
So you might need to delete the one that's posted for me.
So he posted that for you as well?
Yeah. It's correct in mine.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So you just need to...
To be removed. This one needs to be
that's
removed.
That's
perfect. Yep, sounds good. All right, so maybe you talk a little bit about your essay and about the reviews you got. So you read your reviews, and what do you think?
Yeah, well, it's more positive than I thought. I thought it was slightly better than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
Generally, I was expecting sort of the scores that I got. Did seem mostly positive. Of course, I know that there are... issues in
things to be improved.
Yes,
yeah.
A lot of things to be improved. It's sort of one of the problems that popped up was that I seemed to be jumping everywhere. Sort of that's also an issue I knew I had because I had to rewrite so many times.
Yeah.
But the structure is good. What else? Let's take Bjorn's one.
Yeah.
So, he had the issue with the flow as well. The sensors are good. There was also generally the usage of the examples was also good because ParkSense and what was the other one, the falling detection for elderly are actually pretty good examples of good use of sensors and what is possible for them to use. I do some prediction at the end, which isn't very, it isn't supported by anything.
Yeah.
It's just a novel idea, basically. That might come. I did try to search for someone that mentioned with projecting light into the iris, but I didn't really find anything. That was basically at the end of the day. Generally, it at least tells you what you need to know. There were some, I completely forgot that I wrote about VPNs, so I didn't explain what a VPN is or use the correct term for it.
Yep.
So maybe explain some more about what AR specifically is.
Yes.
Would probably be a good thing as well. That was also mentioned, so... yes.
Yeah, I mean, in your example, you don't really need to use the VPN.
Yeah,
because
it's noted on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it doesn't really matter
for the actual content.
Yeah, I should have probably just said, okay, if it's get sent to a server.
On a remote server,
yeah,
exactly. So sometimes we can include extra information, but if it doesn't contribute to the understanding of it, then you better not do that, because you kind of confuse the reader even more, right? So you should keep the attention of the reader of where it should be.
Yes.
It's kind of like with games. Of course, you can do a lot of particle effects and so on, but you know, if it distracts more than convey the story, then you know we don't do that.
Yeah. Yes. I don't know. There wasn't much else. Generally, okay. I did use the a website for the amount of growth that the smartphones have had. Of course, the thing you mentioned about possibly digging deeper and having all the references is valid, but I'm not going to spend that much time on this. But it's a good thing to know for the future, at least. I also had for the FDA, because they talked about the difficulty of medical apps being released. Because, well, you do have to go through a lot of processes to actually get it approved. I don't remember if I used it correctly, but it may have. I don't actually see the where I actually reference it. I don't know. But yeah, those are just small things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So given the feedback you got, what would you change? You would reorganize it, rewrite it, or just make some small corrections, or?
I would fix up some of the structuring, because when I was reading others and doing reviews, I also noticed, okay, so that seems to be something common. I've read more research articles since I wrote it as well, so sort of gotten more of a feel for it. I would also try to focus on one thing, because I do seem to jump a lot. I would also do more looking into sort of what might have been predicted to come, or what is likely to come.
Yeah, I kind of said that one of the questions I posted is what sensors will smartphone have in the future, right?
Yeah.
What what will come, what we can expect?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
there might come some extremely out of the blue sensor that we can't even think of.
Yeah.
Some, because there are a lot of smart people actually working on this, so it's very hard to actually know.
But even the list of what modern smartphones are already equipped with is kind of explaining the state of the art, right? So like, if you just list all the sensors that a superset of all smartphones have, that's already quite an impressive list.
Yeah. Because there are, when I was reading, I read about like magnetometers, like the figuring, sort of gravity and so on. So there are, because most of the sensors that are today are actually really small, so they can be put into a smartphone. It's just the manufacturer that decides what to place in it.
Okay. So also this topic relates to the to this privacy issue, right? So the reality is that your smartphone is a device which knows the most about you. It not only knows your browsing history and your apps and so on, but it actually knows where you are and most of the time what you're doing, whether you're walking or you're taking a bus or using a car and so on. Because of the sensors, it is a very intimate personal device which kind of knows most of the time of what is happening with you, right?
Well, not for me. My computer knows more about me than my phone.
When you're at home, that's true. But when you're like around, where you know that you're currently at school, and then you're back at home, and so on, so your smartphone is capable of doing more than your computer is.
Yes, in terms of sensors, yes.
Sensors and physical embodiment.
Yes.
And then if all that information is like, you know, being tracked and analyzed, and it kind of allows, it allows a lot of interesting use cases. Good. Any questions?
Yeah, no, I haven't read your article, but chapters and subchapters.
Yes.
In the article, are there any?
I didn't set up sort of a chapter structure either. I just felt like just writing it, sort of try and get a flow without using sort of set introduction.
Okay.
So the actual document looks pretty much the same as on the...
Yeah.
So would you have put chapters and subchapters if you were to write it again?
No. But if it was longer, I would, because I feel like 1,200 words, you can read that without actually having to divide it up. At least I feel like it. Although when I read Eskil's, it felt, you sort of had a clear distinction about where things are.
Yeah.
So it can be nice, but if you are able to write it in one single thing as well, it's...
So there is no kind of a clear answer here. If, like, from reading the essays, you see that some of them use very strict kind of structure, and some don't. And then you kind of need to judge for yourself, right? So personally, I think it adds a little bit of ease if you give the reader the structure, because they kind of visually can distinguish the blocks that you have, and it allows you as a writer to jump, because if you start a new section and it has a clear heading, you can kind of jump from the previous thing to the new one, like, easier, right? Mm. Whereas if you're doing how you did it, it's fine as well, but there is more work on the writer to do the transitions, because if you do have jumps, they do feel like, Why are we now having this? Like, you actually have to guide the reader more carefully, and that's why you got more comments about this jumping.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas if you did have the sections and have exactly the same flow as you have right now, people would say, yeah, that's fine, because the sections make the reader understand that there are jumps, right?
Yeah.
Well, basically, you need a red thread way you wrote it.
Yeah.
But you know, you can use several threads with chapters and not chapters.
So, you know, a rule of thumb is this. If you have a relatively low quality text, headings and subheadings help to make it easier to digest for the reader. And then if you have no headings and subheadings, then they will be, and the text is not of very high quality, it will be judged sort of more critically than the text which is of high quality and doesn't have as headings and subheadings. That is the nicest tool to have as a reader. If you have a kind of a good structured text without heading and subheading, which guides you through the narrative in a single way like he did now. Mm-hmm. But that's the hardest to achieve. But that's the best if you can do it right.
Yeah, because that's also the way books are
exactly,
written.
Yeah.
So, of course, you have a chapter, but...
But then you have, you know, pages of flow, and that's what engages you, and that's what...
Yeah.
You don't want to read a book with headings and subheadings every half the page, right? That would really disrupt your engagement with the text.
Yeah.
But having said that, that's hard to do it right.
That's the reason why there are authors and we are computer scientists. Because that's also the thing with computer science books, they do have the...
A well-defined structure, headings and subheadings,
yes.
And so on, right?
But that's mostly because it's a lot of information.
Yeah, so it depends. I mean, again, there is no clear answer to that question. I'm just saying, if you need to jump, then adding headings and subheadings helps, because it kind of allows the reader to digest the jumps a little bit better. But if you don't need to jump and you can explain the flow in a kind of a consistent manner, then it's better the way it is now, because it will engage the reader more.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's see, what else do we have? My internet just stopped working. Can you go back to the event? Yep. So we did three of us. We can discuss Alan, given that he is here as well and listens. So let's check his essay. He did use the headings, so he kind of provides more of a structure to the write-up.
Yes. Yeah. Well, one thing I would mention straight away is just possibly having more bold colors for that.
Yeah.
So it's more clearly defined.
The chapters are not well defined.
It sticks out a little bit more, right?
Mm. Yeah. Just having a bold characters, then you know, okay, it's a title.
Yeah.
Either bold character or larger.
Yes.
So we kind of did discuss the essay before in the class. So Alan, can you comment on the reviewers and reviews that you got? Are you around?
Yes.
You need to unmute your mic.
Might take a few seconds.
Yeah, because the feed is a bit delayed.
Yeah. I don't check.
Okay. So if you hear us, then start talking while we're waiting. I will just point out.
He's saying something, I think. There was a tiny bit of audio. Yeah.
So the audio hears us.
Oh, that's
yeah.
Okay.
It
was next to his box. So.
if it's on his box, that's him.
Okay.
That's us.
Ah.
So we are currently on that box.
Yeah.
So as I was saying, it is hard to confirm a negative result, right? So it like if his topic was the mobile games plateaued, he would just provide evidence that indicates that the curve is kind of flattening, that there is less of stuff happening, right? In his argument, he has to provide evidence that there is more of things happening. But that's kind of hard because you have to pick the metrics which demonstrate that there was something less before, but it was as applicable as it is now, and then there is more of it, even though the externalities didn't change. Because a lot of trends which enable something means that you're comparing apples and oranges, like it wasn't really the case before, and now it's the case, right? So we can say, yeah, internet technologies didn't plateau, because if we compare what was happening 20 years ago and what is happening now, it's like much more. But it's not much more because, it's mostly much more because more things are now possible. It wasn't possible 20 years ago to have certain things, right? We didn't have certain technologies. So now, that argument doesn't hold. Like, it can still be valid that the internet technologies plateaued, right? Because they just did, now plateaued. Yeah. But from 20 years ago, they were up growing. And now they plateau. So if you compare to the past, you still cannot really derive the logical conclusion that it didn't plateau right now. Right? And that's the hard part. But he did kind of a good job. He provided some evidence that there are new things which are stimulating what the mobile gaming is about. But is it strong enough? Did you read his essay?
Oh, yeah.
So what do you think? Can you confidently say that the mobile gaming didn't plateau?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Here's about Go and eSports as a
people,
you know,
yeah.
Can you switch,
mm-hmm.
also it's mobile.
I would I would say they are reaching plateau. They are, at least the games that are now out are sort of reaching a plateau. Mostly because people aren't trying to innovate.
Mm-hmm.
They're just creating the same things.
Yeah.
Which is very scary for the mobile games market, at least. More work in AR might sort of bring that curve to a stop, so it doesn't plateau anymore.
Yeah.
But until then, I think it's sort of reaching it. Yeah, because the new Mario game is basically an advanced version of Flappy Bird. You have the Clash of Kings, which is basically like the Facebook games that were 10 years ago or something. It's basically Farmville.
Yeah.
Just made into a cooler setting.
Like Clash of Clans, kind of like Terraria, not Terraria, Trivium, which was like the red game. Like when I was in third grade.
Yeah, they're reusing old ideas.
Exactly. So the thing is, the mobile platforms enabled certain things, and there was a growth and diversity of kind of things happening. And now the growth is enabled by like AR or some other technologies which are coming along, but not kind of by the core mobile nature of the market.
Yeah.
So the smartphones themselves, that part, I think, has been saturated and the same ideas are being reused. With the exception of Pokemon Go, which, it was possible before and they were sort of real world games being tried, but we didn't have kind of many successful ones.
Yeah, that's
globally successful ones.
Yeah, that's because they don't have the reputation that Pokemon has.
That's right. So, but technologically, that was possible because of the smartphones.
Yeah.
Right? So we can have some sort of cross-media ideas which merge the real world with the virtual spaces and with the ability of you to move around in similar way. And that space is definitely not fully explored yet. We don't know what is possible and what was engaging in that space. So, yeah, we will see. I mean, he gives kind of some arguments. We have Eskil doing the counter, so he probably argues similar to you that some of the old ideas are being refreshed and rehashed. All right, so it seems Alan is not around. Let's do a final thing, which I... so if you go to the... if you go to Eskil, augmented reality and the mobile wearable. That one is an example of a very well structured text with clear headings and subheadings.
Yes.
And as I was explaining, yeah, you can sort of jump a little bit between, because the reader expects that the next thing is the next thing, right? Even if you didn't read the article, he talks about like how the augmentation allows us to get more from the real world, because you have an extra information kind of being provided to you on the spot, contextually annotating the reality and so on.
Yeah, I wrote a review for him as well.
Yeah, so what do you think about the essay?
I found it interesting. It does tell you sort of, he goes through the state of the art, the possibilities that AR has, especially for improving people's lives, as in the you had the ski AR and the other one, what was it?
Handshake.
Yes, Handshake. Sort of the ski AR helps the skiers going down. The Handshake just makes it easier for people to share contact information.
Mm-hmm.
He also talked about the potential for learning or teaching with it, and it could sort of make a classroom more interactive. You can have, like in museums, you could have, a video play when you look at something. I did have some usage of personal pronouns, which could be avoided, or should be avoided. He does have a clear format.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to read, and you don't get lost while reading it, which are really good things when going to papers, because the research papers can be very dry sometimes. So it wasn't hard to read, so it just went fluidly. Some parts that the general population might struggle to understand, and some grammar issues, but overall, it's very good.
You did a review as well?
No.
Or you just read it?
I just read it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'm doing a review, but I haven't posted it yet.
Okay.
So for me, it's not the same as Christian.
Right.
But I take a bit of thermographs with grammatical errors, because,
that's the form, right? So,
that's the form, not the structure is really good. And the content is also pretty high quality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this was probably my shortest review as well, because I didn't have too much nitpick on.
Right, yeah. Well, Per Arne would nitpick on all the drama.
Yeah.
Are you doing the review or the counter?
Review.
Okay.
And countering Magdalena.
Okay.
So, did you guys watch the short movie by the Israeli students called Sight?
I don't
think so.
So, can you Google it?
Who's
made Sight, Israeli students say.
Okay.
Movie.
First
one. Yeah. So, it's 7 minutes. We can watch it. So,
let's see. Sound. background it came from. Right, so it's VGA, so I know how to solve this. I think. Let's see. It doesn't actually recognize the HTML at all, so.
What you can do is because.
Oh, right, of course. It's on this side.
The question is which one is which? You have two plugs.
Probably this one.
So you probably, which one is the?
It's probably that one,
Try.
Yeah, I need to.
Zombies from your backyard.
Life is a journey, and in this journey, we all want to do more, experience more, feel more, and live with no boundaries. And why shouldn't we? Sight System presents Sightseeing. Feel free to go anywhere.
Reminder, date at 9 p.m. Choose outfit.
Patrick?
Oh, hi. Hi, Daphne, how are you? Sorry.
It's okay.
You look great.
Thank you. Love your jacket.
Thanks. It's a sports jacket, so it's a lot less official than it looks.
What do you mean?
Sorry?
What's the difference between a sports jacket and a normal one?
I guess a sports jacket is for people who want to look good even when they're chased by the police. Anyway, I hope you're hungry. This place has the best burgers in town.
Oh, actually I'm vegetarian.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really? Because you didn't say it on your profile, so.
Well, I don't write everything on my profile, so.
Do you want to go somewhere else?
No, it's okay. I'll find something on the menu.
Well, how about a glass of wine for starters?
Yeah, great.
So, are there any other things on your profile that you didn't write about that I should know, or?
Aren't you scared of jogging by yourself in the city?
Not really. Besides, I'm about to hit level 5 on Marathon Master.
Pretty impressive.
I know. What is scary though? On my last route, my sight crashed. So scary. I didn't see anything. I couldn't find my way home.
Sight doesn't crash.
Oh, it did? I was totally lost. I didn't see anything.
That doesn't happen since our last patch.
Do you work there or something? Really?
Yeah.
Wow. What do you do there?
Nothing serious. I'm just a simple engineer.
Actually, I read about your company in the news. Is it true that you guys implant stuff and manipulate people's sight? No.
It's just bullshit. But anyway, I don't want to talk about work. Not when I'm here with such a pretty lady.
You know, you really get me.
You know, I can tell what you're thinking right now.
Really? What?
Well, finished our drinks. What are we going to do? How about we go to my place for a nightcap?
Well, if you're so good in reading my mind, you should know what I'm going to say.
There it is. Make yourself at home.
Nice place you've got here.
It's all right, I guess. A toast for a perfect night.
Why are you drinking?
What's that?
No, a dating app.
No.
Oh. I mean,
it's for programming.
It's just my luck, a friggin' gay agent. Disgusting.
Wait, wait.
Do not touch me, you creep. Fed it.
I said wait.
Now let's try this.
Yeah, that is sort of the issue with that type of AR.
Yeah, but even if we don't go that far, even if we just have, you know, some glasses that augment stuff for you,
yeah,
there is still a lot of potential for manipulation and for, you know, like what we kind of have with social media, right? Mm-hmm. It's very non-intrusive. You are kind of going there, but it is still being used for a number of things that just trying to be there, for example, make you stay on the site longer, or, you know, spend money, or whatever the manipulation tactics are. And then with augmented reality, that is kind of the next level. It will be used for that purpose.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, because you can have subliminal messaging, propaganda, any of those things just within the AR space. Because, well, if you constantly are in a VR space, people will want to commercial.
Like, environment, like, suddenly there's communist posters.
Some advertisements or whatever, right? And then you may not be able to distinguish it. Right? Yeah. Right now, if you go to Facebook and Facebook is trying to do something and, you know, the feeds are kind of manipulated, you kind of know that it's a different space. Mm-hmm. And then you go out and you're sort of in the real world, and then the other part is over, right? But here, the boundary is blurred. You don't know when you are where and when you are exposed to what. So there is a lot of issues. And yeah, I really like the way they, punch the concept in the face, basically.
Yeah, it is. It does sort of show what could be. The last part is sort of.
That may be pushing it too much, right?
Yeah, it's something that may not be that possible.
Yeah.
Of course, it is possible. Humans are the brain works on mostly electrical signals, so.
Yeah.
But it seems more sort of like a remake of 1984.
Yeah.
So that's probably what they're looking for as well.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So that will be it for today. We will. So next week there is still classes, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So we will meet next Thursday. To go over the rest. It kind of depends who wants to come up. So I write a piazza because you guys were here and we were discussing your essays.
Yeah.
So if the others want to come and participate, we can have another session.
So you're saying that we shouldn't come?
No, of course you should come, but if you come and nobody else comes, what should we talk about?
There's always like some of that topic.
Yeah, we can talk about the remaining topics.
Yeah, that's what we've been doing the last few times anyway.
That's true.
Yeah, I also need to finish my counter, so.
Yeah.
Okay, let's meet next Thursday. So
yeah.
We will come up with something.
Not Tuesday.
And I will book the room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we know.
Yeah, because there's no serious game on Thursday anyway, so because Simon is impossible.
Yes, that's right. So he leaves.
We won't be able to cook the room for it.
Cool. I was listening to a podcast yesterday, and there were two sides to the discussion. One side was saying there is a lot of new stuff happening, and you know it's good because we are improving, you know, technology. We're making things easier for us, and so on and so forth. Like you know, smartphones, for example. And then the other voice was saying, "Yeah, that's true, but." At the end, we always worse off, right? It always is misused and abused, and we kind of, So then with this tracking and so on, so like, are we really better off with the smartphones, with all the tracking and all the data privacy issues, or we were better off without them?
Depends on the laws that regulate them, because most of it is controlled by companies, large companies that have to follow the law in order to stay afloat, basically.
True, but even like, let's say, like with Facebook, like, are we better off now having Facebook? Or will we had it better?
When we had pen and paper in the past.
Exactly, you were like, you know, you have to meet physically with your buddies and so on.
It's probably better now because you can still meet face to face with your buddies.
But are you?
Or
are you meeting less?
I'm not using Facebook anyway, so
you're the wrong person.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but I still meet my friends.
Yeah.
It's not.
So you know, Norway is a bit.
So it's the wrong country.
It's
to
the
ask.
Wrong, yeah, because I don't think Facebook influences people that much here.
No.
Yeah.
But
it's more
you know,
US than
US,
UK.
Yeah.
So, but even there, it's only a few specific people where it's gone bad.
Mm.
And you shouldn't ask just a few specific people. It's like Simon said last week, I think, with environmental issues.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask scientists who back it and those who don't back it,
mm-hmm.
you should find 99 scientists who back it and one who don't, in order to make it appropriate according to what the scientific community thinks.
That's
there's the same story here. You should find 1,000 people who think it's better and one who think it is worse. Yeah. And then it will be represented.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's difficult to ask as well, because the ones who don't like it are the ones who are more likely to voice their opinion on it.
Yes.
So...
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. I guess that's true.
Yeah.
The critical voices are much stronger than the positive ones, because the positive ones just don't voice the
opinions.
Yeah.
So it's an absolute vast majority of things that are happening now is always going to be better than it was.
Yeah.
A vast majority. Not everything, but the majority.
Yeah, so that, I mean, I don't know. Like, I think you're right, and I think the, you know, doing some research on it requires being kind of having a good methodologies, right?
Mm.
And most methodologies for that are hyped, and they are not correct.
Mm.
So that was an interesting one. And then the other thing I learned was, I mean, you know, it's not really a fact, it was just a statement. So the guy was basically claiming that as a human being, most of the time when you want to have sort of like a positive feedback for yourself, like pleasurable experience, you have to put a little bit of work into it, or a lot of work into it, right? So it doesn't really come just out of the box, with the exception of sex and television.
Mm.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, yeah. You know, so sex is obvious, like, you know, you don't need to do much work to have pleasure out of it. And then with the TV, it's like, yeah, it's kind of the same, right?
It's music.
Yeah, so there's a lot of those passive entertainment things which are pleasurable, but at the same time, you don't need to do anything extra, like, you don't need to learn it or do things like that, right? And you see that with kids. I see it, like, how addictive watching cartoon is for my kids. It's so much more addictive than playing games, right? Like, they play games, play for a while, and then they quit. But with cartoons, they could just sit there, don't eat, do nothing, just watch it all the time, right?
Yeah. It was the same when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I was more addicted to cartoons than playing games.
Yeah.
But now that I've grown up, it's the other way around.
That's right.
So
I was kind of different. I'm more of the... I was very social. I hung out with friends, but when I wasn't, I was playing games.
Right.
Of course, I watched a lot of cartoons and so on as well. But as far as I can remember, after being like eight, it was mostly games.
Mm-hmm.
So that was always the main focus. That's the thing I wanted to do, so I went for it.
I mean, for me, it kind of ended, because like when I grew up from like 1 to 6, we didn't. And then, like, cartoons you can see was like on NRK, like from like 6 to 6:30.
And that's
so
it.
That's it.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
Then we moved to America for like 1.5 years, and it was like, oh, we get Cartoon Network and
yeah.
all that stuff.
It's 24/7.
Like,
24/7.
And like, having sitting up like 24 hours, like, watching Cartoon Network one day, it's like, oh, yeah. Yeah, and then coming back after that, didn't have that. Had been in that for like 2 more years. And then, because my parents were like very sweet as children, but like when we became like 16,
I didn't
care.
I didn't have strict parents in that
yeah.
sense. I could play any game, so I was eight-year-old boy sitting around playing Doom, all those sorts of games, and I could watch any movie I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, censoring children doesn't really.
Yeah,
there's no merit.
I mean,
it's okay, I'm a perfect human being.
You can't, in Norway, you can't legally censor children at all.
Mm-hmm.
Even because, for example, it's a gang, I just read.